Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Jump. And we are here. I'm your host, Dennis Holmes. I'm with my co-host, Sharon Mullen, the chocolate girl. You know what, Sharon?
Hey, what's going on, Dennis? Take your podcast, ignorant thinker, Holmes.
Now, I'm doing good. Play that intro music. Because Bill Cosby is free. Free at last. He did his, in my eyes, he did whatever crime it was. He did his time. So he's now free. I'm happy he's home. How do you feel about it?
I have mixed emotions. He was there. He served 3 years. He got out on the technicality. People have been getting out on technicalities for years, though. So, I mean, it happens. You know, our legal system is not perfect. It's the best in the world to me, but it's not perfect. It's far from perfect due to racism and other issues. It's not just racism, but other issues. And, I think people are sleeping on the misconduct of the district attorney's office. See, the district attorney is what cost this case. The district attorney did not follow the rules, did some things knowingly against the law, against the rules. And now Bill Cosby's attorneys were able to get this overturned based upon that technicality. Well, I don't hear calls from people who are upset about him getting out. I don't hear them calling for that DA's head on a platter. All I hear is them feeling unheard and upset and, oh, I'm injured all over again because he's out. I understand that. I know about trauma. I have friends who work with people who experience this type of trauma. So I'm not trying to say that I'm not compassionate or understanding about it. I am. I'm just trying to look at the whole picture. I'm a whole picture person. I don't like to take one little point and only look at that. We got to look at the whole picture. And, you know, I've never really been 100% on board with all 70 of these women being truthful. From the 70s, I'm a child of the 70s. And from all reports, the way Hollywood was, a whole lot of drugging and sex was going on all the time, just casually all the time. That's why when AIDS came out, it spread so quickly throughout Hollywood. There's a reason for that. And I'm not saying that they were all lying. I'm just saying I've always had a problem with the whole story and its credibility. I'll just put it that way. Now, haven't you seen reports where people are saying, how can he get out when he admitted that he raped these women? So he got out on the technicality, but he's still a rapist. How do you feel about when people say that?
People say so many things nowadays. I feel as though I wasn't there when the crime went down. He did go to jail for it. Like I said, he did his crime. I mean, he did his time for the crime, so that's what it is. He got it overturned. This is our judicial system. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you like it or not, this is what it is.
Here's my thing. I recall reading the transcript of his testimony. I don't recall him ever admitting that he raped these women. And I have asked several people who have posted statements across social media, give me a link showing me this, because I'm sure it's out there if he did indeed admit it. My memory could be cloudy. It was 3 years ago. I loved Bill Cosby. Maybe I just didn't want to believe it. I could be guilty of that. So maybe my mind is not remembering the truth. I want someone to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall him admitting that. I recall him admitting to giving drugs to women like Quaaludes. Well, back then, if anybody does their research who wasn't born back then, or who was, you know, not even around at all or even thought about back then, taking Quaaludes was a common occurrence amongst people in Hollywood all the time. And supposedly they would take it and have sex, take it and have sex, take it and have sex. And so I was told that that other people have told me that some of these women did that and then later tried to say, well, that was rape. I did not consent to taking the drugs that day. I don't know, but that was the culture back then.
Right.
So there's a lot of trouble in the story for me.
I just think it's too old. I always thought that it was just too old. Like, it's too old. Y'all bringing up too much older stuff. Like,
40 years from 40 years ago.
If you, in my eyes, if you didn't take care of the issue back then, it's kind of like it's too old to me. No offense to the people who are going through what they're going through, nothing like that. You know, but that situation with Bill Cosby specifically, I mean, he did go to jail. So, this is our judicial system, and in the words of B.J. Samuels, and in this time, it worked in our favor.
Well, his accusers and their attorneys are outraged.
As usual.
Yes, they're outraged. One person was saying today's majority decision regarding Bill Cosby is not only disappointing, but of concern in that it may discourage those who seek justice for sexual assault in the criminal justice system from reporting or participating in the prosecution of the assailant, or may force a victim to choose between filing either a criminal or civil action. Okay, I can see that. It may discourage survivors of sexual assault to do that. But the one important thing that I believe people like this young lady is missing, well, she's not young, she's older, is this case also may encourage victims of sexual assault to report it sooner. Because you can't tell me that the fact that they waited all these years to come forward did not affect this case. You see, they were not happy with the outcome from the beginning. They thought he should have gotten more time. They thought the charges should have been worse, yada, yada, yada. But I believe that the fact that they took so long to come forward lessened their case. And maybe in the case of more clear and even unclear sexual assault, maybe it will encourage them to come forward sooner. I'm hoping that that's the result. I know people who were victims of sexual assault, and it's traumatic. It's real trauma, Dennis. It's real trauma.
And I don't wish that on nobody. Let me get that up.
Me either.
But, I'm happy Bill Cosby's free. But our next subject is from the female who got caught smoking weed for her Olympic try-in. I want to say, was it a try-in or was it a drug test?
It was a test that they always get. You know, they always get tested prior to the Olympics.
Supposedly, she has the 30-day suspension.
30-day suspension for marijuana. Evidence of marijuana in her system, yes.
And there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, with mixed emotions. I've heard some people say, like LaMelo Ball, it ain't crack, let her run track. I've heard other people out there say, like Gabrielle Union, you know, weed is good for a lot of things, but it doesn't make you run faster. Mm-hmm. Old school gangster, WAC 100, you know, he came on and he said, you know, she did the crime, she must do the time. She let us down as a country, so she ought to get what she deserves. That those things that I have heard. How I personally feel about it, you know, where she from, weed is legal. So I can see why she was smoking weed. The Olympics, you know, a lot of people are upset because they feel as though Michael Phelps was smoking weed and won a bunch of gold medals. So what's the difference from him smoking weed and her smoking weed? Well, you were telling me that he got caught smoking weed after he won the Olympics.
From what I recall, again, my memory may not serve me correctly, but from what I recall, this was after he had competed, in between competitions, so to speak. And the test came back positive for marijuana, but he had already won his gold medals. And I cannot recall him being suspended. He might have been suspended for 30 days. I don't remember from competing at whatever level that he was competing at the time. It wasn't Olympics, but it was something else. I do know that some of the endorsements were scaled back because of it. And then in the course public opinion, he was blasted for it. So, I mean, it was years ago, and I believe people are very quick to make the comparison because they want to make this be about race, and it's really not. The rule is a rule. And for what I've been following the Olympics my whole life, and for what I recall, people who have been testing positive for the steroids and so forth have been suspended, kicked out, medals taken away, all kinds of stuff. And so some of the things that I'm seeing people post on social media is not true. It's not true that someone posted, so people take steroids and nothing happens to them. She smokes weed and she's suspended? That's not true. People found with steroids or any type of performance enhancing drug, whether intentionally or unintentionally in their system, they have been suspended from competition with the Olympics and other sports associations. So I don't understand where they're getting this information from. There's a whole lot of misinformation online. We'll get to that in a minute. But it just really is a whole lot out there, and people with failing memories like myself. That's why I always preface by saying, my memory may not be serving me correctly on this, but this is what I remember. And I say that because it's real. I'm 55 years old, just turned 55. Memories, you know, sometimes can fail. But yeah. So the way I feel about this whole thing is, I understand the trauma of losing a loved one. I lost both my parents within 2.5 years of each other. And if anyone knows me, my parents were my world. And losing both of them while also secretly battling cancer, where only two or three other people knew that I had it, not even my family, and having to go through all of that, it's hard. So I understand needing something to cope. I understand the trauma of losing a loved one. I understand all of that and trying to clear your head so you can compete at a high level. I'm not going to judge her decision of marijuana to cope, but what we can judge is the fact that she clearly admitted that she knows the rules. She clearly admitted, yes, I did this. And she clearly understood that it put her competition at risk. She understood it, and she came out and said that. But even after she said that, everybody is still bashing the Olympics and want to talk about the fact that weed should not be outlawed by the Olympics. Well, okay, maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't. I'm not getting in that argument. That's a matter of opinion. But the fact remains, as of today, it's a banned substance by the Olympic Committee. And if you're caught with it, you will be suspended. It's just black and white to me. And I don't mean race. That's them's the rules, as Popeye would say. Them's the rules. And I just I don't know what else to say about it, Dennis. I really don't. I feel sad about it because I was looking forward to her competing in the 100 meters. But after the 30-day suspension, she may be eligible to still compete in a relay. So I'm holding out hope for that because that child can run.
Yeah, she can run.
She is a beast. And I was excited to see her run in the Olympics.
Okay. All right, well, we do have BJ Samuels in the building from Sam Sports. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing? How are y'all doing? I'm sorry. Not just you, Dennis, but Sharon is here too. Goddamn. I know.
Yes, I am here. I am here representing the great Durham Bulls minor league baseball team, the number one minor league baseball team in the nation, the Durham Bulls. Number one.
As BJ's over there representing, you know, the number one podcast in the world. I like how you represent
number two. Yo, it was cold. It was cold this morning. It's a little hot now. I'm here sweating. I'm keeping vision hard now. It was cold this morning. That was the first thing I seen, so I grabbed it.
How you feel about the Olympics? I'm sorry. What's her name again?
Shikari.
Miss Richardson. Because I don't want to mess up her first name. You know me and names.
Right.
So I think it's bullshit on both ends. Yes, like Sharon said, the rules are the rules. Rules in place for a reason, most of the time. You do the crime, you do the time. But you got to understand, she was dealing with some things. And once you start dealing with stuff, everybody don't think clearly. So she didn't think clearly. Not to say it's wrong, not to say it's right, but you don't think clearly. And she messed up. I can't say she made a mistake because she made that choice, but she messed up. She did. I mean, there's no excuse to be made about it. She messed up. She got to live with it. But at the same time, weed is not a performing enhancing drug. God damn it. This ain't no eating contest. You ain't about to eat hot dogs and all that goddamn shit. You know, you ain't about to get the child one. But I understand, you know, the rules are the rules. It's in place for a reason. You messed up, and that's what it is. But, I mean, she was dealing with some real-life issues. Not saying she needs to pass, but, I mean, you got to understand where she's coming from, too.
Okay. What about somebody say that you could look at weed as a performance enhancer in that the weed helped her calm her anxiety so that she could focus and race. So I actually heard somebody say this on another podcast that you could look at that weed in that instance in the way that she used it as a performance enhancer. Because if she didn't smoke weed, she may not have been able to focus enough to run as well as she did. And I'm so, like, that's a little bit of a reach there, dog.
How long have they been fighting to get weed medically cleared to help people with certain issues? They've been fighting for that for a while. And God damn it, you just got the keys to the
exact number of years, but yeah, it's been a while.
And now she just opened up the keys to success because she just, God damn it, made it witness that this shit helps me deal with certain life issues. But shout out to Nike for not dropping her, because Nike said they're gonna stand by her and they stand with her. So shout out to Nike for that. I'm about to go get me a Nike shirt.
Yeah, so I appreciate what Nike is doing, I still want to remind everybody this was also the company that dropped my girl when she got pregnant.
Yes, right. It is.
So Allison Felix.
I think they learned their lesson from her. But I do like the way Nike tends to stand by certain individuals. They messed up with Allison, but they're on the right side of it with this, I believe. I don't believe she should have been dropped
onto New York Avenue Northeast.
Okay. What was the next subject we had to go on?
We're gonna move on to our NBA Hall of Fame. One of the top 50 players ever, Mr. Scottie Pippen, of the things he's been saying lately, and Stephen A. Smith's reaction to it.
Yeah, Stephen A. really believes that the Phil Jackson being a racist is BS. And he believes that Scottie Pippen is on drugs. That's basically what I got from that situation. I don't think Scottie Pippen's on drugs, but I know embellishment sells books, and he's gonna make sure that his book is number one. Is the number one bookseller when it comes out. This is like the third. I think this is about the third incident I've heard on this book. The first one was about, you know, passing the ball to Steve Kerr and Paxton was for the cameras. This one was what you call being a racist. I want to hear his story really about Portland. What does he got to say about Portland? Those are the stories I want to hear from.
What about Portland? Scottie Pippen.
Well, I've heard on the previous podcast that Portland was very racist to the basketball players.
Oh, when he was there on the team, you mean?
Yeah, you know, they was called the Jailblazers, remember, back then?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And I just want to know his take on that, being the Jailblazers and stuff like that. That's the only thing I really want to know from the book.
I hope he includes that in his book.
I hope so, too.
Because and I'm really hoping that he doesn't spend his whole time trying to sour the image of the Chicago Bulls experience. I'm hoping that that's not what he attempts to do with his book.
We'll see. That's all we're hearing so far, so we'll see when this book come out.
Well, as far as what Stephen A. had to say, Stephen A. was on point, I feel. Several people have mentioned that the way Scottie looked in the video of his interviews, that he looked like something is not right. And they're thinking this beyond selling the book. Hmm. Did you happen to see his video?
No, I ain't watched none of his videos, huh?
I haven't seen all of them. I've seen clips from it. And, you know, besides the whole hairdo, because, you know, he's got the little prickly hairdo right now. But besides that, I mean, he looked like Scotty to me. I'm not quite sure about the whole drug thing.
Yeah, I'm not either. But I, you know, that's what Stephen A. Smith said. That's not my place to be judging like that.
But Stephen A. also did, like you said, he also said that alleging that Phil Jackson was racist was the most ridiculous thing he's ever said or done. And when he was talking about the Ku Klux thing being a racist issue, Stephen A. reminded us that the game afterwards, during an interview, Scottie Pippen did acknowledge that he apologized to the team, he apologized to Phil Jackson, he apologizes, you know, to the fans and everybody. He apologized. But now he's making it sound as if none of the stuff was right. That he did it for other reasons, that he felt disrespected. You know, everything I've been through, I should have gotten the shot. He's still saying that. It's 30-some years later.
Yeah. Like I said, I want to hear more about his Portland experience. And yeah, that's about all I want to hear.
So you just don't even care. It's like, whatever.
Because I really don't want to hear nothing about the Chicago Bulls experience because I know where that's coming from, that whole documentary last year. I know where that's coming from.
So you think that he's got some sour grapes because of the documentary?
The documentary and the fact that he was paid, what did he get? $2 million a year for a seven-year deal or something like that?
Right. It was something like that. I remember the number $14
million. Right. And he signed a 7-year deal, a deal that he signed. Because 7-year deals was the thing at that time. It wasn't these 3-year, 4-year deals that they get now. 7-year deals was the thing because even Chris Webber signed a 7-year deal as a rookie, but he had the option to buy out. I mean, he had the option to get out after the first year.
Well, here's my take on that real quickly because I know we need to move on. I did not feel like the documentary made Scottie look bad. I never felt that way. And the one time I saw him talk about it, he said he wasn't upset about it. That's what he said. He said, I'm not upset about it. From what people tell me, he and Jordan are actually friends. I should say friendly. They don't go meet up for drinks every week or every month, but they're friendly. That's what I was told. So well, I don't see this whole narrative that he's resenting Jordan. He wants to, you know, just discredit Jordan and wants to smear Jordan and he this and can't stand Jordan. I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to see what comes out in the book, but in the documentary, I don't think it made him look bad. People were questioning why talk about what Scotty did in that year, in that game, when this documentary was supposed to be about the 1998 season. Well, if you watch the doggone documentary, there's a reason why he kept going back in time. The backstory of what happened before 98 was relevant to the story, and it made it much more interesting than just watching highlights from 1998. That would have been a straight, boring documentary if he had done that. That's called creativity and making the documentary more interesting. It's a style, it's a technique. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
So I just think that people who hate Jordan said that the only reason why he put that in there was to make Scotty look bad. It's not like it's something that nobody knew about. Everybody knows the story about that game and how he refused to go in. If you follow basketball, it's just like, what are you talking about? It's not like he exposed something that nobody knew. The only thing that he exposed that nobody knew about, was the fact that his rookie season, he went in that hotel room and they had all kind of drugs and women and all kind of stuff all over the room. That's the only thing that he let slip out. He didn't give names. He didn't give specifics. He talked in general terms. And here come Craig Hodges mad about him saying that. Man, you don't get me started talking about Craig Hodges.
Trisha Joy said, Scotty. She said, Scotty's on his Kwame Brown. Yes, agreed. Can I dial in? Sure.
Of course.
I agree that the documentary did not make Pippen look bad. Thank you, Sheila. What's going on, Sheila?
That's my big sis.
And, okay, I think BJ went dark.
No, I'm here.
I had all right, well what did you feel about the whole Scottie Pippen situation?
Mental health, I mean, mental illness is real. I mean, it could be a number of things because people have been cooped up for so long. Like,
we can't hear you. We can't hear you, BJ.
Why? Because of the wind? Or you can't hear me?
I guess because of the wind.
Oh, but yeah, people have been cooped up and now people got time, let their mind race, and when you at a certain level, maybe he was mad because he ain't get one too. So now he want to start some shit so somebody can come to him and be like, yo, you know what? You got something to talk about. Let's sit down and talk. And you know what I mean? Everybody want their own spotlight. So I think it could have been that. I mean, it could have been just a bunch of BS all the way around the board, but I don't know.
There's a lot of people out there that's just like that. They like I said, embellishment sells books. He gotta try hard to get that book to sell. Because if he was just coming out with a book, I don't think nobody would have just bought it. But now that you're saying Phil Jackson's a racist, the past was for the cameras, you know, you're really pushing it out there. Like, yeah, read this book. I'd rather hear more about your Portland situation than to hear about your Chicago Bulls situation. Trisha Joy, how you doing?
Morning. I saw my friend Sharon online, and I had to come in to agree.
Hey, Treasure Joy, it's so good to see you, dear.
Good morning, everyone. Sharon, I heard you preaching the gospel about this whole Scottie Pippen thing during my meditation, and I had to hop in and come give a word, you know. I had to step up with
all right. What say you, Trisha Joy?
So the Scottie Pippen thing is like a sports emotional roller coaster. And it's been a ride that we've been on since the 90s. You know, he goes back and forth a lot. And I don't want to put this in a negative light because some people waver a lot. You know, some people maybe good one moment and then something sparks them to like not be good in terms of like how they feel at the moment. And I think that Scottie Pippen, I think everybody involved knows Scottie Pippen to a point where they understand it, and you don't see that much comments about it. You don't see Kukoc. I didn't hear anything from Kukoc. I don't think Phil Jackson said anything. Michael Jordan hasn't said anything to my knowledge. And I think that's both like a professionalism thing and just being used to it. I remember back in the 90s, Scottie Pippen did an interview with, I think it was Slam Magazine, while he was on the Bulls. And it was like, this is before internet, and you know, we were all reading the stuff in magazines, like throwing shade at Michael Jordan. They like wouldn't call him by his name in the article, but call him something like Cash Money wants this, Cash Money wants that. Like, I remember reading that thing on the train and being like, this is drama. But it never really played out because Michael Jordan is focused on.
I forgot all about that, Trisha. I forgot all about that article. I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that's the one article that's always stuck out in my mind is like when, and that's the first time we kind of felt there was some like uneasiness amongst the team to have Scottie Pippen do this interview that was printed back before we had blogs, printed in a magazine for people to buy and read about his feelings about Michael Jordan. And after that, obviously they've won championships since though that article has been printed, but like he's always had this thing to say, right? And it's been in his heart since then. So I understand he's also has a book or bourbon and stuff like that, and he may be in promotion mode. I don't know if this is the best way to promote that stuff, but I just wanted to say like it's something that's deep in his heart that has been going on since the 90s. This isn't like a since the Last Dance thing. It's been from before that. The Last Dance, I didn't see anything negative about Scottie Pippen, like to the point where it's like egregious in the Last Dance, or else he would have been sued, for that. The thing may have been, maybe it didn't focus a lot on him, where he's a guy maybe that he wants focus. He wants the attention. He's talking about he wants the ball. He wanted the ball. Maybe it's that kind of trait that we're seeing right now in the media, more so than actual, like, he actually hates them. I think he's trying to get that attention, but has been trying to get it for 30 years now. I didn't hear that. Did I walk in on something about like drugs? Did somebody say something about drugs?
Well, Stephen A. Smith said in his response to what Scottie said, all he knows is that maybe he needs to just stay off the weed. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
And then he kept on talking. And I have heard other people in the media comment that he looks like he might've been high or smoking weed or high on something. In the video of the interview that's going around circulating.
Yeah, I mean his hair was like out there.
Well, that's what I was saying. He's wearing that funky hairstyle right now. That hairstyle that look, which is I don't have a problem with people who want to wear that, But coupled with what he was saying and the way he was talking there, I can see how they could say he looked like he wasn't, he didn't have it all at the time. But to me, that's just the way Scotty talks.
I mean, I could
normal Scotty to me.
I don't want to judge whether or not somebody was inebriated because I can't.
That too. That part.
But, you know, he still, regardless if he was or wasn't, made the choice to still go on air and say that stuff. And, you know, I can't judge whether he's lying or not because we don't know if he was under the influence or not either. I know it was dangerous, a dangerous line to toe, given that he is a media personality and he has employment with, I forgot what show he's usually on. So whatever.
The Jump. He's usually on The Jump.
Yeah, he's on The Jump. So
That's ESPN, The Jump.
Yeah.
With Stephen A. Smith, ESPN, same network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in what happens after this, if anybody touches it, but I feel like everybody has backed away from the topic. And I feel like it's either because they know Scotty or they know that the topic would bring attention to the NBA and the past that they don't want at the moment. So, you know, we're not really hearing that much other than what the internet is pushing, but I do agree with you. Sharon, there was no, I didn't see anything that would Scott like, oops, Scotty, let this publish, like, oops, Scotty saw a preview and was okay. There's nothing in The Last Dance other than it wasn't about him. That,
you know, you're right, Trisha. And if you remember, after the documentary aired last year, in 2MW 36 Sports 360, the page, you know, that you started.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Trisha Joy. It many people were in there saying, oh, Scotty is, I know he is mad. That's why nobody's heard about him. It made him look bad. Jordan is trash for this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, the usual suspects who shall remain nameless in the group who hate Jordan anyway, were the biggest and the loudest to say it. And you and I both put in there, what are you talking about?
Right.
I mean, everything that he talked about was things that most people who were alive and paying attention to the NBA at the time know about already.
Right.
And we can vouch for it because we experienced it. It's the young bucks that don't know what they're talking about, who wasn't around, who was 2 years old at the time, that don't know that all this stuff really did happen and that it was already known.
Yeah. And another topic that was brought up in the wall was like, well, Jordan should have got Scotty some more money. And I was like, but that isn't Michael Jordan's job. Like,
that's not his responsibility.
Yeah. And even like just on a general like level of a dude, I'm not to speak for dudes, but a man don't be in another man's pocket. You know what I'm saying? So like, if
especially not back in the 90s.
Right.
They do that crap now, but they didn't do that crap back then, even if they liked each other and were on the same team.
Right.
They just didn't do that.
Right. It's your agent or you, y'all negotiate what you get and then, you know, do that. But I think Scotty it's been like this since the 90s, since like that Slam magazines. Then after that, when they came up short in the NBA playoffs with him as the lead, you know, that was the one time he would get to show how great he is without MJ around. And that didn't happen due to, I guess, some call in the Knicks play or whatever, the Knicks game or whatever. And so you have this guy that never really quite got to lead. And I feel like in his heart, he feels like he has the leadership qualities, but by the time it was, you know, him and Jordan around the same age, like he never got to play that number one starring role, and it still eats at him today. And so maybe it's something that he should talk to somebody about. And this is my opinion. I'm not talking bad about him. I'm just saying like, this is a human thing to feel, but right now it's starting to get to a point where it hurts him so bad that he's possibly, right? I don't know what happened in the locker room. I don't know Phil Jackson, but possibly hurting other people by saying some possibly hurtful words that may or may not have, you know, be true, whether it's Phil Jackson or poor Tony Kukoc laid out in some kind of beach somewhere in a random island, graying up like an old man with kids and grandkids. He's probably like sipping a pina colada and like, what the hell? Like, why am I, like I have gone into oblivion, like, you know? And now you brought me back off of what? A jump shot? You know?
I believe that he did get his chance to lead again in Portland. But
yeah, he did.
Again in the conference finals, he came up short. He was up 18, came up short.
Yeah,
that's why I said I would rather hear the Portland story instead of the Chicago story.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was going to say too, Dennis. Yeah, he did have a chance to lead, but not in the way Jordan did. He didn't.
Yeah,
he was
Portland,
the man. But
how old was he? How old was he in Portland?
And yeah, this was after
he was
the
in
Bulls,
his 30s.
After the Rockets, yeah. And then he went to Portland. So he was in his 30s, late 30s, mid to late 30s. So
yeah, but yeah, that's all I really came to say. I came to agree with Sharon. But that Slam magazine thing came up while I was thinking about what you were saying. I was like, yo, this is deep. This has been deep. And you know, the Slam magazine came out. That's when your word was literally bond printed in ink, and Jordan still played after.
That's,
you know,
right.
So like, you know, it's business for him. You don't care what Scotty, you know.
That's right. Thanks for bringing that magazine article up, because I had forgotten all about it. I wrote that down. I'm gonna go back and see if I can find that again.
Yeah.
Maybe I can find it digitally. I forgot all about it. So thanks for coming on remind us all of that article.
Anyway, I'm a fan of the show. I'll be listening on the outside. Bye, guys.
Welcome to the side, John.
The side, John. Oh, that's right. We forgot to tell everybody. We'll do it at the end. Thank you, Trisha. That's the girl, boy. That's the girl. Shout out to 2MW Sports 360.
Shout
if
out.
Anybody from there listening.
Shout out. You know, with that whole Scottie Pippen situation brings us to our next subject. Jealousy.
Oh, we skipping the trolls on Facebook?
Oh, no, my fault, no trolls. I just seen Josh Bailey. Or trolls right up. Trolls. My guy, Josh Bailey.
Yeah, what's up, Josh? Probably the premier troll upon trolls, and proud of it.
Yeah, he proud of it. How do you feel about trolling?
Well, first of all, social media trolls are people who deliberately provoke other people online by saying offensive and inflammatory things, make people upset and angry purposely. That's their goal. That's a social media troll. I can't stand them. And you will hear me. I picked this subject. This was my subject to talk about because this week I had to deal with a troll in a sports group that hates Kobe Bryant. With everything that he loves, he hates Kobe.
Not talking about me.
No. He hates Kobe Bryant with everything he loves. And anytime I'm in the sports group and I post anything about Kobe, he always has to jump in my thread saying some negative shit that he thinks is going to provoke me and get me upset. The thing about it is, what he doesn't understand is I'm sitting here reading the stuff, cracking up, because Kobe lives rent-free in his mind and makes him come out looking like a pure, ignorant, lame ass online, because he spends all this time posting gift after gift after gift after gift, dogging whatever it is I'm saying positively about Kobe. It's so ridiculous. I can almost count down to the second before I'll see one of his comments appear on one of my threads. And to me, that's a simp. So for me, I can't stand the social media trolls. Social media trolls take all the joy and fun out of engaging with people on social media for me. And to me, it's just immature bullshit. If you just want to troll, do that shit in the street where you live. You know what I'm saying? Just they don't make things interesting or more engaging on social media. They're a distraction, and they are what's wrong with social media, in my opinion.
Hold on, BJ has something to say. What you got to say, BJ?
He got his hand up and everything.
No, I thought Sharon was talking about me, but I got cleared this time. So I got a question. Who determines who a troll is? Is it their actions? Is it the person? Because sometimes people can say things and necessarily if you don't agree or you feel as though they plan too much, they are trolls. You know what I mean? So who determines who is a troll?
I think it's
I can answer that. Go ahead, Dennis.
But I think it's a continued action. For example, me and Sharon, we always, you know, go at each other with the Michael Vick or Chris Webber or the Chris Paul situation. But it ain't always the same. Like in certain situations. There has been times that she has taken up for a Michael Vick or Chris Webber or Chris Paul. But there are other people out there who will continue to keep bashing those same players. And those are the ones that I consider trolls. Like, all right, you just trolling. Like, this ain't going nowhere.
True. It's the actions, BJ. It's not because the person doesn't agree with my point of view. I got the definition of what a troll was from Google, right? I just got an actual physical definition and it described exactly what I mean.
You gotta go to Urban Dictionary.
Well, that's where it was from. I Googled it and then that's where I found it.
21st century.
Oh. Well, right, that's where I found it. And what I'm saying is people like that who can't let stuff go, who go on and 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 on. Who every time you got something to say, they got to come in and poke at you and say stuff that they know will get under your skin. That's trolling.
So
if you want to discuss a subject, discuss the subject, but you don't have to be a troll about it. And just like Dennis said, everybody who talks sports with me know I can't stand Chris Paul. Can't stand him. Never liked him from day one. But this week, he played a fantastic game. So I posted it in somebody's thread. Listen, I can't stand Chris Paul, but he played one hell of a game. I give him credit for that. See, but a troll can't do that. A troll will see something and still bash him. Oh, you post something about a troll who doesn't like Chris Paul. Here's the difference. Somebody posts something saying what a great game he had, and he'll come back and they'll say, yeah, but you still injury prone and ain't never won shit. You don't deserve no credit. That's a troll.
What's the difference between a hater and a troll?
Oh, I thought those were the same people.
Trolls are haters. The trolling stems from the hate. That's where it stems from.
All right, so Dennis, is Derek a troll?
Hell yeah.
Derek so much so, Buck Flair put in the comments, Derek, Dennis Holmes. Derek is the troll. That's what he put in the comments for this show right now.
When I say that the Steelers aren't going to be that good because they didn't fix their offensive line issues, is that me being a troll?
You actually like something about the Steelers a little bit.
No, you're not being a troll by just pointing that out. It's an action. This is what it's hard for me to explain it to you until you do it. For instance, Josh Bailey, who we all love, shout out to Josh Bailey. He calls himself a troll. He says I'm a hater and a troll. That's what he just put in the comments. But for some reason, when he trolls, it doesn't bother me. But there's other people who troll. When they troll, it is so annoying. I just don't even want to deal with them. It's a difference. So, and they make it unenjoyable. Josh still keeps it entertaining, even though he's a troll. He's a funny troll. Buck Flair can be a troll, can be trollish about certain things. Talk about Jameis Winston, and a troll will come out in Buck Flair. But it's entertaining. So it's funny the way he does it. It's not sinister and serious. It's not a personal attack like trolls do. Trolls tend to attack people, the opposing viewer, personally. That's what they tend to do. They make it personal. They name call, they nitpick, they slam you. It's a whole different vibe. It's like a bully on the playground. Somebody being your opponent on the playground is one thing, but a bully is something else.
So trolls can take days off.
Yeah.
I know a troll who never takes a day off, especially when it comes to the subject of Kobe Bryant. Never takes a day off.
So, is AB a troll?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. He has troll moments, though.
So, he said that I am loyal to the Ravens, to the Xbox, and every time I say something Flacco, about the Ravens,
Dennis Pitta.
No, you said Dennis Pitta, goddamn it.
Dennis Pitta,
so,
yeah.
Every time I say something about the Ravens, then he go. So, is that him is that him trolling me? Or, I mean, I don't know.
It depends on what he says and how he says it.
No, because like he actually says good things about the Ravens.
My sister put in the comments, trolls tend to be condescending. So when AB talks about the Ravens, is he condescending to you every time?
AB, every time I talk to AB, that motherfucker's condescending. I say, good morning, AB. That motherfucker.
Yeah, he's trolling you. If he's condescending. Trolling you, yes.
But he doesn't attack. You have to ask him a question. That's the difference on AB. If you don't say nothing to AB, then nothing to say. You could post a bunch of stuff and you don't say nothing to say. But if you go say, hey, AB, what's going on? Then he attacks back.
Got you. Well, see, a troll won't wait for you to ask them. They'll just jump in. They'll see your post, jump in, and just start saying shit. Right. Annoying as hell.
His number one line is, come on, beloved. That's his number one line.
Stick to the Ravens, beloved.
I can deal with come on, beloved. But don't sit up there and say the other crap. You just don't know basketball. I wish another MF would tell me I don't know basketball, please.
Oh, that was Sports Angles was trolling when he said that to the guru and see what happened to him.
Man, you don't say that to people, certain people.
Don't say it to certain people. Shout out to the guru. This show come on 10 o'clock tonight.
What's up, Damon?
I understand. They got something with them.
I mean, but in sports, you need trolls. You need somebody who will bring that fire out. Now, how often they bring the fire out?
I disagree with that. You don't need a troll to bring the fire out. All you need is somebody that's entertaining as hell. I'm going to go to Dennis. Dennis will make any podcast pop off. But Dennis is not a troll. He's not a troll.
Dennis is a goddamn troll.
No, he's
ignorant
not.
Thinking.
He's not a troll.
You must not know Dennis. That motherfucker.
Listen, I didn't know Dennis. I didn't know who Dennis was the first time I saw him on the show. I didn't know who he was, and I watched him. He's not a troll. The more and more I watch him, I realize he's not a troll. And he and I do not agree on everything.
I mean, you're not supposed to.
We're about 50-50. We don't disagree more than we agree. We're about 50-50 on some things. So it's not about agreeing, but he's not a troll. He's not an agitating troll. And just like I said, Josh Bailey, he's a troll, but he doesn't he's not a condescending, aggravating, just disrespectful troll. He can be when he wants to be, But everybody who knows him know he's just picking at this person for fun. And it's more in a family type of way. I can pick at you because we know each other well enough. No, trolls don't care. They don't care if they know you or not. They're going to troll you.
That is true.
So anyway, that's just something I thought would be interesting to talk about, to get other people's perspective besides mine. I didn't know if I was just the only person that's bothered by trolls or if other people were too.
It is what it is, but I think it's time for us to get to our last subject. You know, one of the most beautiful subjects out there, I would have to say, is jealousy.
Beautiful?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful when you realize that it's just straight jealousy. When you, after all this time, you be sitting here and you be thinking about it and you be like, all this time you was just jealous? That's all it was?
Listen up, Sheila. We about to talk about jealousy.
We talking about jealousy. You know, now here's the thing. We was talking about it last night. You know, I had my one story, but then I thought about another one. This one is actually me being in a relationship. This is the story I had about me being in a relationship. And the girl I was with was actually jealous of the fact that, you know, like the way I interact with people. She wasn't a people person. She couldn't do it. So she was jealous of the fact that I was a people person. And I could interact with people and I could do this and do that. And people would give me gifts and, you know, buy me stuff, and she couldn't understand it. So I was supposed to go to this concert. I forgot what concert it was. I was supposed to go to this concert one night. And so, like I said, somebody bought me a ticket to the concert, but I only had one ticket. So she was like, well, if you're going, I should be able to go too. I said, well, if that's the case, then buy you a ticket. Well, I ain't buying you a ticket. I didn't buy my own damn ticket. I don't even think it is no more tickets. I think they sold out. Come to find out, they was sold out. So she couldn't go. So she was upset that she couldn't go because the thing was sold out. It started like a whole 3-week argument about how she couldn't go to the concert because it was sold out. I said, somebody bought me a ticket, so I went. I was being appreciative of the gift I got. And like that jealousy right there ruined the relationship of how I was a people person and how I interacted with things and, you know, kind of the way that she was.
So,
did you have any
question? A guy or a girl buy you the ticket?
A guy, actually.
Because I was already saying, I mean, it could have been, you know, she thought you were going with somebody
She knew who bought me the ticket. She right, seen when my mother gave it to me.
Sir, that don't mean anything, sir. All they know is you're going and they're not going. So you're supposed to say, you know what, babe? I'm going to stay home with you. Just to save face.
Negative. Negative. So I just wasted that person money because of the way you feel?
I mean, it's a conversation, though. So, like right now, I get invited out all the time to certain things. But I know that my wife don't like certain people, or she get jealous.
I didn't say I was married. Let me get that out of the way. I wasn't married.
No, but no. I mean, even if you wasn't married.
I think you got the hiccup.
Later on, I get cussed out and things like that because I didn't go, but I got to save my house first. You know what I mean? I mean, everything is conversation. Everything ain't for everybody. And I mean, I do get it. I mean, somebody brought you a ticket. Hey, they had one extra ticket. I'm about to go to the show. Now I want to go too. All right. Well, I mean, we going to have to find a way to get you a ticket, or you're not going to go because I have to go here. You know what I mean? But I mean, I get it on both ends. I mean, I get it on both ends.
Yeah, like I said, that jealousy killed the relationship. And at the end of the day, come to find out years later, relationship wasn't even worth it.
Right.
Now, let's reverse the situation. If it's my wife, on the other hand, then I got to go get another ticket.
I mean, what's the difference between your girlfriend and your wife? I mean, y'all still together. I mean, you still care about her feelings.
Yeah, them papers is the difference. That's what the difference is. No, you took really... vows and you said that you was gonna be there forever. That's what your vows said. You took vows and you said that you was gonna be there forever.
But as a girlfriend, you said, "Yo, I'm gonna ride out with you." So that's like, I don't know. I can't really say that. But I understand. I mean,
sister, Maureen in the building. Goddamn.
What I want to know? I mean, so okay. I know I missed part of what y'all was saying. I was talking to my son. Sorry about that. But what I want to know is, are y'all down for this jealousy thing? That's what I really want to know, because I'm not down for it.
No, jealousy is a part of life.
Is a deal breaker.
Jealousy
is
a weak emotion.
It's not just part of life. It's a deal breaker for me.
Jealousy is a part of life, because you don't know they're jealous until it's too late.
Okay, well, I guess if you call that being part of life, okay. But it's a deal breaker for me.
Me, you, and Dennis say that we going to the Ravens and Eagles games. Right? Now,
yes.
Me and Dennis get our tickets. We sitting in row 100 or down the bottom. And you get your tickets last. What are we supposed to do? We sitting on the bottom and you sitting up top. And you mad because you sitting up there by yourself. Mad. Jealousy, all fall together.
No, they don't. Because you don't. Because no, they don't.
It does because.
No, they don't. I disagree.
It does. I mean, we always disagree. So I mean, that ain't nothing new. We just disagree.
No, we do not always. First of all, we do not always disagree, BJ. We do not always disagree. First of all, beloved.
Beloved.
We don't. Second of all. Anger and jealousy are two different emotions. Jealousy is a sign of controlling behavior and insecurity. It's when insecurity and control issues meet together. That's jealousy. And for me, it's a deal breaker. That's where this subject came from.
Could you say that? Say that one more time. Did you say is when insecure and what meet together?
Insecure and control issues come together.
That's what my sister just said. She just wrote she not going.
I think
going.
That's the right definition.
She just wrote that she not going. The ticket was bought for you as a gift, and she knew that she knew who got it. And when that's when that sounds a little controlling. Vi said being jealous could be inspiring. I don't know. You either see something that you want to inspire for.
That's envy. See, people confuse that with wanting, coveting somebody else's life. That's a whole different thing. That's biblical, and I'm not getting into coveting. But what I'm saying is straight jealousy. For instance, Dennis, I was talking to Dennis last night, BJ, about jealousy. Dude sitting in a barbershop. Girlfriend comes in going off about who was the bitch was in my house. Yelling and screaming at him. He gets up out the chair, goes out of the parking lot to talk to her about it. She starts beating on him, so he defends himself and starts beating back on her. Meanwhile, the barbershop's across the street from the projects, right? And you know everybody. So somebody went and got her brother from the projects. Here he come with a gun, shoots dude dead in the parking lot. Come to find out, there was never anybody in this house. He wasn't cheating. The person who made up the lie about there being a girl, that he had a girl in the house, was the chick who was jealous, who wanted him away from the girlfriend. And her jealous butt believed it. Off on the strength of a rumor from somebody she didn't even really know that well. But she came in there all insecure, all jealous, all because I can't control every movement he makes and I don't know where he was and he didn't tell me where he was, so it must be true, with her neck swinging, and the man is dead. And jealousy for me is a deal breaker. I never will date or marry a jealous man. I'm not having it. I'm not jealous, and I don't rock with jealousy. I do not, because that mess can get you killed. Jealousy is one of the most unstable emotions on earth. It will cause you to do stuff you would never do otherwise.
That is true. That is true. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think jealousy is a part of life. Like you can't avoid it, and you don't know the person is jealous until they say something, until they show you.
That's right. And when they show me, it's over. I mean, that's what I'm saying to you.
I mean, you got jealous family members.
I mean, you got jealous friends. I mean,
guess what? Jealous friends are not my friends. Okay, so my sister wrote in the comments, Sheila, shout out to Sheila Mullen. Jealousy is the most dangerous emotion one can have. That is true. She and I talk about it all the time. And yes, you do have jealous family members and so-called friends. So what Sheila and I do, something that she came up with, you see, you got five fingers, right?
Okay.
The pinky finger is the furthest finger away from your heart. You don't choose your family members. You choose your friends, but not your family members. So where do we put family members who are family, but they, you know, they're jealous of you, so you don't want to really deal with them too much? You put them on ignore. You put them right here on the pinky, furthest away from your heart, way over here. They're still attached to you because they're family, but they way over here. I don't deal with jealous people like that because they'll kill you. They will kill you, or they will hurt you. They try to take you out because jealousy eats away at them, and they lose all perspective and control. And you better keep them away from you.
Better. So if you find out that somebody is jealous, your husband, boyfriend, your homeboy,
done.
Your cousin, whatever,
done.
You have a conversation about it and see what the problem is. See if you can fix the problem. Maybe a lot of problems in today's society can be fixed with a simple conversation, and a lot of people just throw the whole trash out, throw everything out.
Let me help you what I'm saying. I am not saying I have one incident and he's jealous and I just say, oh, it's over. Dang. That's not what I'm saying. You being real literal. I'm saying this is after dealing with a person and they have shown me over time that they are a jealous person. And I see it's part of their personality. I'm done. That's how domestic violence comes up, dog. Most of it comes from jealousy and insecurity. That's where it comes from. On both sides, women beating men and men beating women. Emotional abuse. Psychological abuse and physical abuse starts with that. And I'm not having it. I stopped being jealous in my early 20s. No jealousy for me, because I recognize, listen, I'm not chasing ghosts. You know what chasing ghosts mean? Looking for reasons to find that he's cheating on me and all that. I told my ex-boyfriend, hey, if you're going to cheat on me, you better hide it so well that I don't even suspect it. Because if you cheat, I'm not running after you, begging you to come back. I'm not doing all that. Because if you're stupid enough to cheat on me, then you deserve to go. You don't deserve me. Because I know I'm a good woman. I learned that early. Early. I don't have any reason to be jealous. So what? Some girl all up in his face talking, and he's talking to her back. I don't care. And that's one of the reasons why we broke up. He wanted me to be jealous. I refused to be jealous. He couldn't make me jealous. I ain't have it. Not going to have it.
I definitely understand that, because ain't nothing to be jealous.
Jealousy is a waste of time. It's a waste of time.
It's a weak emotion.
Running around here, chasing around. Somebody told me they saw you with some girl. It could be his cousins. You know how many cousins that man had that I hadn't even met? I don't know. If God want me to know that he cheat, he'll bring it to me. And that he'll bring it to you too. You ain't got to chase it and look for it.
Show don't. You show don't. Buckley said he ain't got time for that BS.
No. Sheila said jealous incidents are tolerable. Jealous personalities, no. You hear that, BJ?
That is true.
Yeah.
So
if I say,
oh man, when me and Sharon do a show, don't nobody watch. But when Dennis and Sharon do a show, they get all the comments and everybody watching their show. I want to be like them. So I come to you and be like, well, what do y'all do differently that I don't do? You know what I mean? That's trying to work it out because you got jealousy in business as well. And kind of trying to figure out, preach, BJ,
goddamn it. Keep preaching.
Damn it, mother, I hate y'all cut me off because y'all killed my whole train of thought. I got to restart. It's all yelling and screaming like we had a boxing match or some shit.
Go ahead and finish, BJ.
But I mean, how do we? I think jealousy is a part of life, and you have to have a conversation about it. Just the same way as if things ain't going right in your household, you don't just be like, you know what, this ain't working, you gotta go. No. Why isn't it not working? Why are you jealous? What don't you like? What do you see that I don't see?
I agree with everything that you just said. I don't know what I have said here today to make you think that I feel that that no conversation is needed. But if I gave that impression, I apologize because that's not what I'm saying.
I am not saying that at all.
I agree with you. There should be discussion. I'm just telling you if the bottom line after all this discussion, if the bottom line is no, this is the way I'm going to continue to be, and you can either put up or leave, I'm going to say goodbye because a jealous person is dangerous. Okay, so if anyone knows me, I'm a very patient and forgiving person, almost too much so. I am very forgiving. I am very patient. I will try to work things out with you. I will. But if you insist on being that same way, I don't understand that. If you're just going to keep on being that way, if I'm telling you I don't like this behavior and you say you love me, then you need to work on that change. Just like if there's something about my personality you don't like and I say I love you, then I'm going to be willing to work on the change. I'm not perfect.
So what if in my head, I'm not being jealous. I'm just being direct and real. And you think I'm jealous. So you'd be like, you know what? I'm about sick of talking to you about this. This over with. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, well, I'm telling you, I'm not being jealous. This is me. I'm being straight with you. So you throw everything
being
in the
straight.
Trash. And then next week, you realize, damn, he wasn't being jealous. But now you done threw everything in the trash.
Well, so if I come to you humbly and say, hey, I was wrong, then it's up to you to decide, okay, I'll give you another chance or not.
No, you already left me now. No, go ahead.
So, then that's your cutoff.
See how that works?
I'm coming, listen to what I'm saying. If that scenario happened that way, and I'm woman enough to come to you and admit I was wrong, I am so sorry, please forgive me. And you say, well, nah. Well, then that's your cutoff. That's what you're not willing to tolerate. And that's cool. Long as everybody knows where the line is.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah, long as everybody knows where the line is. There's certain things you won't put up with. There's certain things that everybody won't put up with. Certain things Dennis won't put up with. One thing I will not put up with is jealous friends, family members, or men. I'm just not going to put up with it. Not for long periods of time. I'm not going to do it.
No.
Because it's dangerous. I will try to work it out with you. And it's like you were saying that sometimes in business, people come to you and say about the show and y'all, what are y'all doing? I don't believe that somebody coming to us to say, hey, Dennis and Sharon, what do y'all do differently? I don't feel like that's jealousy.
I don't either. I honestly like that one better than you actually. Like if you was to go behind my back and be like, oh,
yo, Derek, yo, man, they out here doing different shit, yo.
When they go behind your back and be like, Oh, look at Dennis and Sharon. I know they get them followers. I can't stand them. I don't know how they get all them followers because they ain't no good, no way. And they talking your game
behind your back. They ain't people to watch the show.
Right.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's a hater right there. That's some jealousy right there.
Oh, man, there's a lot of jealousy everywhere. Just keep striving for greatness. That's all I'm going to tell everybody. Keep striving for greatness. But like I said, jealousy is it takes over. It's terrible. It's terrible. It'll break up a good business. It'll break up relationships. It'll kill people. Put people in jail. All because the way you feel about somebody.
That's true. But I had to learn that when I was young. I learned my lesson. This is the reason why I am this way. When I was in my early 20s, there was a ex-girlfriend that was coming around, picking around my boyfriend at the time. And I made a mistake. I got mad about it, showed up at his house and went off on him about it. It almost caused my relationship because of the way I reacted about it. And here he was telling her, it's over, don't come around anymore. And I'm thinking he was over there saying something else to her. She finally admitted it and acknowledged it to me. No, he was telling me that he loves you, fool, and to leave him alone. But I had to learn at the heart when I said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
I was young and dumb.
I learned better.
All right, so listen, I got to get ready to go, but I do have a story similar to that. I had this side chick. Now listen to me. I had this side chick.
Let me start over. You had a side joint on the side joint. Keep it going.
And it was this other girl who was trying to talk to, I guess, us. And she was like 18, 19 years old. But we was like 25, something like that. Something, I can't really say age because then I'll get caught. But then she went to her and told her, oh, Brandon called me and he wanted to see my titties and all that shit. So the girl got mad at me. She cussing me out. No, I'm like, what the fuck is you talking about? And I had to tell her, like, that is a child. You know she go both ways. You know she like you. She been trying to talk to you for a minute now. And now she come and tell you this, and you just throw everything in the trash because of what she said. She was mad at me for like 24 hours. They talked to me and F'd me this and F'd me that, and then came back and apologized later. But it was never the same, because if somebody can come to you and just say A, B, C, or D, and you're going to run with it, then, you know what I mean? It never went the same, because you just listen to whatever any and everybody tell you. To this day.
Well.
All right, hold on. I gotta go now. There's mad people calling me and shit.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, BJ.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna conclude this.
But what's your final thoughts on the jealousy thing, Dennis?
My final thoughts on jealousy is the fact that try your best to try to iron that jealousy out, because it's dangerous. It's very dangerous in your life. I think I'm gonna start ironing some jealousy things out. I'm gonna try to iron them out. Some wrinkles can't come out. That's just what it is. No matter what kind of steam you got, some wrinkles just ain't coming out. So I'm going to try as best as I can to try to iron some things out in my life and get them straight. May even bring them on the show and try to see what the problem is.
Oh, really?
I hate when they do that. Wow. I hate that shit, though.
Wow.
Like, the list asked you where I'm at, and you always call.
Wait, hold up, player. It's still online.
I don't care. Man, there is this bullshit, yo. All right, yeah, I gotta go. I'm ready to pick this lady up.
All right, BJ. Bye.
All righty. Y'all be blessed.
You too.
All right.
So what's your final thoughts on this jealousy thing, Shan?
Well, my final thoughts are, you know, Some people are jealous and don't realize they're jealous. Some people are jealous, know they're jealous, and they expect you to put up with their jealousy. And then there's some people who aren't jealous at all. And the more and more I stopped being jealous, the more I felt more in love with myself. There is a correlation. The more secure I became in myself, the less jealous I became. Until now, I'm not jealous of anybody. I'm happy if anybody else gets whatever they get. I don't try to one-up anybody because I'm not insecure. I'm secure in my lane and what I do. I can congratulate those for their accomplishments. Like I look at Trisha Joy, who was on here earlier. I watch the things that she does and the way she moves on certain things, and I'm applauding her all the time. I'm one of her biggest cheerleaders. But guess what? She's also one of mine. It's right, a mutual respect.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
You and I, Dennis, the reason why we click so well is because I'm newer to the podcast game. Anything I ask you, you answer. You don't hold information from me because you don't want me to outshine you.
Right.
Why? Because you're not insecure. And again, that insecurity and jealousy go hand in hand. But you helping me, then I'm able to help you on some things you didn't even know that you needed help with or that I even knew about.
Right.
It's not like we go down like four flats since 1925. We haven't known each other that long. So you don't know what I know and don't know. I don't know what you know and I don't know. But when we have our conversations, we learn from each other. That's how mutual respect. If either one of us were jealous people, it wouldn't go down like that. And we would be limiting each other. I would be limiting myself. You would be limiting yourself.
Right.
So for me, my final thoughts on jealousy is, if you know that you are a jealous person, I am going to ask you to just spend some time alone with yourself, because that's where the jealousy starts. You don't like yourself as much as you think you do. And you think that other people are viewing your shortcomings like you do, and they really aren't. There are some people out there who cannot even be loved. They can't receive love because they are so insecure and jealous that it blocks them from receiving love from other people. And so I'll just ask, if you know that you're a jealous person, spend some time getting to know and love yourself. It will change your life. It will change your life.
Well, that is a side joke. This is part one of jealousy. We will be revisiting jealousy later on.
And for those who don't know what the side joke means, Dennis, tell everybody what the side joke means, what the word joke means.
Joke is a noun. It stands for a person, a place, or a thing. You can use it any way you want to. If you're not from Philadelphia, you probably wouldn't understand it, but John is a noun. And I will be saying this every show until you understand, you know. But as BJ had a side John on a side John. You know what right. I mean? So
John.
That was so pretty good.
I like the word. I'm glad you've educated me on this word. I like the word.
Man. So each and every Saturday morning we'll be coming to y'all with the side John. I am Dennis Holmes. This is Sharon Mullen. Again, we want to thank y'all for coming out tonight. Sharon, you got any last words?
Great show, Dennis, on the side, Joan. Happy to be here. You can catch us on Tuesday, 8 o'clock. I'm sorry, is it 8 o'clock? Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on Talk Your Ish Tuesday. Catch us at 10 o'clock on Stay Tuned. Shout out to the fellas from Stay Tuned. You can catch me on Fridays with BJ, who was on here earlier, on the AFC North show. Yeah, AFC North representing the AFC.
Wednesdays with BJ on Wild Wednesday.
On Wild Wednesdays with BJ from Sam Sports. And so we do this Saturday thing. I'm excited to start this new venture with you. I do have a podcast that I do. It's an audio podcast only called Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? Got that name from the one and only Dennis Holmes. He gave me the name of the other podcast. You can catch it on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcast. Just search for it on Google. It'll take you to me. I've got, I think, six or seven episodes on there. I keep saying I'm working on this NHL episode. It's taken me longer than I ever dreamed it would take for me to finish it because I want to put a lot of details in it. So it's taken a lot more research than I thought. It's going to be a fantastic story I'm going to share with you all about the state of Black people in hockey in America. It's very, very interesting. So look forward to that coming. Shout out to Trisha Joy from 2MW Sports 360, who was here earlier. Got started on podcast with her, with Out of Your League. I'm hoping we can bring that show back, but we've got some other shows that we're planning on doing soon. So shout out to Trisha Joy and Buck Flair in the comments, who does the Buck Flair show, 10 o'clock Eastern time during football season. Looking forward to that coming back as well. Shout out to the Durham Bulls, the number one minor league baseball team in the nation.
All right. Well, God bless. Good night.